This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
So the other thing at the United Center on Saturday, I know you're wondering, but yes, we did have the big game.
David dominated is the way I heard it.
Put him in the Hall of Fame!
That's that you didn't hear
what,
it from me.
I did not say that. What about that power dunk you had?
The trailer coming to the rack! Oh my goodness! He just gave a bull's facial!
I did not dunk.
That's still super cool that you're playing on the United Center floor.
It was fun. We had a nice event with Remy Martin before the game. Good score turnout. Grody needs some work.
Bears.
Gabe, pretty smooth.
Oh, Gabe.
Marshall Harris, defensive stopper.
It appears that Marshall, who is very physically fit and does go to the gym, forgets leg day. That's what I said.
But it was fun. I went down hard once.
I'm falling and I can't get up.
That was probably the low light of the day. Went down pretty hard.
You went down hard.
Went down hard.
Yeah, you fall harder.
No, you do. And I couldn't quite get the ball at the tip, so I just got the... And I'm twisting in the midair. And I come down. Boom. Down goes Haw.
Down goes
Holly.
Down goes
Holly.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
You gotta love it here, folks.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You got rave reviews, Mr. David. You got a really good report on your game. We are going to talk to Mark Grody, who is now down at the Combine. And I mean, when you said Grody needs some work, you're saying the guy can't play. Let's
Good
be
morning,
honest.
Mully.
Yeah, I'll translate for you.
I know. Thank you. I essentially did say that, and I didn't want to say that, but I said it without saying it. Grody does need some work, mostly on his jumper, but, you know, good role player.
Oh, boy.
Plays his role well.
Yeah. Grody off the bench is what
Grody
I'm hearing.
Grody off the bench, yeah. Well, he is definitely going to be somebody I'm looking forward to talking to.
He's the guy that everybody is going to adopt as kind of their favorite player. And then at the end of the game, they'll be like, Grody, Grody.
Yes.
Because him getting out there signals blowout.
The underdog story. The fan favorite. He's kind of Scalabrine. He was kind of in the Scalabrine role.
Scalabrine.
Yeah, I would like to play. You like to play pickup with a Mark Grody just because he has fun.
Because he can dunk on
and
him.
And he makes you laugh every time he shoots.
Oh, he's the best. Yeah, every time he shoots. Wow.
Just kidding. All in fun. So, how are we doing this morning?
Oh, living the dream.
Wow.
Watch the Bulls.
Oh, my gosh.
Almost the entire game.
That was crazy.
I know.
Did you find yourself wondering, why am I watching two teams this bad for this long?
You know, I was thinking to myself as I was doing some work and had the game on, and I think I depressed my family. Everybody wanted to watch something, and I had the Bulls on. And I'm sitting there, and it hit the third quarter. It's like 125-75 or so. I don't know what the score was, but it was so far gone. And I just was computing a little bit, and I'm like, oh, the Bulls have won. There's not a chance they could lose. Even if they stop playing, there's no way they could lose this game.
I thought the same thing. I found myself Googling, what is the highest point total for the Bulls this season? Because it looked like they were on the verge of breaking that.
What was it?
I still didn't get an answer. I got kind of sidetracked.
Because they might have set that record. I mean, they had hitting shots.
They had no answer for the Bulls. The Bulls. Kevin Herter.
Kevin Herter. What? Who knew?
This was the Kevin Herter game.
Yes.
They were without Vooch. They didn't have Io. They didn't have Jalen Smith. And you thought, this is going to be a game that you watch the Bulls and you have a familiar outcome. It's going to be a familiar game.
It didn't make the cut, but I actually asked that question. Was that the Kevin Herter game?
He hit seven threes. The best he has played since coming over from Sacramento.
Well, he hit four in the last game against the Suns. And his over-under for that game for three-pointers, I just looked at it because he had four in the first half, 1.5.
Oh, boy.
He hit seven. What a missed chance.
He was really looking fluid, and he looked like he was shooting with confidence. He was finding his spots. He knew he had to do a little bit more. He was going to play a lot. So, good for the Bulls. Lonzo Ball walks off with a head laceration. And I have to say, I wasn't sure why he was walking off.
I thought for sure his name
and
was
gone. I thought, this is not bode well. This is not a good sign.
But there was another question that didn't make the cut.
Can you say, thank goodness he just had a head laceration?
I felt exactly the same way. He leaves the game with the medical staff. He goes into the locker room, and there's no report on him. There's no update. They KC was on at halftime with Jason and Kendall, and he's like, well, we'll get a report. We don't know what it is. You know, we haven't heard yet. And then at the beginning of the second half, they had it on the broadcast that it was a laceration to his head. And I was almost relieved. I was like, oh, thank God it's not his knee.
It's awful, the same thing.
But they just signed a guy to 2 more years.
Yeah.
So we'll be walking on eggshells for 2 years.
Well, and that may explain why the trade market wasn't as robust for him as we had hoped or some people had thought, because when he walks off the court, you kind of hold your breath. Like, yes, oh, no, I hope it's not the knee.
That's so true.
Hope it's not the knee. By the way, the same night that the Bulls were doing what they did to the Sixers, did you see what happened with the Sacramento Kings and Zach LaVine? 42 points.
Zach went off. He did. He was hitting shots galore.
Good for him.
Fourth quarter, he went nuts.
He's adjusted and adapted quickly and well.
Oh,
the golf clap is back.
Yeah, there's Dustin.
We did not miss the golf clap.
Well,
Dustin.
I heard. I listened the whole way. We left at 5 a.m. from Davenport, Iowa, and drove back, listened to 2.5 hours.
Now
I heard the golf clap comments.
We mentioned you.
Yes. We did. We got a lot of play.
We thought of you, yeah.
You were good for content yesterday.
David tried to replace you. I mean, there was a lot going on yesterday.
Are you still reading the rundown?
I am reading the rundown.
Oh, no.
Alex's rundown. Yes, Alex's rundown. I did poke fun at
Alex's rundown.
Yeah.
Very thorough.
It was definitely thorough.
Especially coming off the week. You know, you should take Mondays. Because coming off the weekend.
Don't tempt me. I've got the time. I could do 4 days a week starting in June.
Okay. Well, it's good to have you back. Golf clapping and everything. Even though Zach LaVine deserves more than a golf clap after that. 42 points.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know where the Kings are in the whole realm of the Western Conference playoff race, but I don't think they're going to do much damage. The West is going to be very interesting. By the way, speaking of the NBA, tonight, Luka and the Lakers.
Yes.
They face the Mavs coming to L.A.
You know, I'm not sure that Luka's going to play, believe it or not. I heard he's headed for a rest day because he's come back and he's been the leader of the team. If he doesn't play in that game,
he's got to play.
Wouldn't that be hugely disappointing?
Yes.
Hugely disappointing.
I don't think he would let this be a rest day.
Because Anthony Davis isn't playing.
Well, you knew that was bound to happen the minute they traded for him.
Yes.
That's why that was such a bad trade.
Yeah.
You can't count on anything when it comes to his availability.
What if he can't
play? Luka's going to play.
Okay.
I think Luka's going to play. They were speculating whether or not he was going to get 30 or 60.
He might need a day off, is what I heard. I cannot believe that.
If you're right about this, I'm going to be ticked off because this is going to be I want to see the Lakers. I'm not that interested in February regular season weeknight NBA games, but this one is one that is the exception.
Look at you getting fired up.
I like Luka.
I don't know anyone who doesn't like Luka other than the Mavericks.
I was just going to say, wait a minute. Yeah. The Mavericks owner?
The Mavericks apparently feel they don't want to pay Luka.
There are times when I'm watching the Four Letter Network, and I think Brian Windhorst, sometimes you know how certain guys who cover certain guys have something for that certain guy. And I have crossed my mind, I wonder if he likes Luka.
Really?
He's critical.
Because he's
very critical.
He's a LeBron guy, and... And Luka's taken over?
Not because of that. I thought that before the trade.
Another guy who shops in the Husky section, okay? And Luka also shops in the Husky section, but still is able to get out on the court and have that great athletic ability. Despite if you were picking a game and had never met Luka, he'd be one of the last guys picked based on his body style.
Maybe.
Think if, like, let's say he was at the United Center. I think before the big.
I bet he would have had a Remy.
He knocks down a couple Remys and he's having a beer. I think just based on his size, he'd be the first selection.
I think you're right.
Size.
Yes.
Okay. He might have been the first selection, but he might be a guy like, hey, Grody, you guard him. Because, you wouldn't have to worry so much.
Oh, my God. That is unbelievable. Grody gets
I doubt Grody's listening. He's getting fired up.
Grody's getting killed.
I love Grody.
Grody.
I love Grody.
Well, the very fact that he humiliated himself at the United Center tells you why I didn't
he
play.
He did not humiliate himself. He actually acquitted himself quite well.
You're making fun of him.
I'm just teasing him because I would do it in front of him, too.
I figured you'd want to show off. You've gotten yourself in great shape. You want to show that off a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No.
Lakers -8.5, by the way, tonight.
Last time I played, Dustin, there was a human collapsed on the floor, okay?
Oh, boy.
Just, I'm not kidding. I went around my bro. My brother and I are squared off. I get around him, and I go for the finger roll, and you just hear as my back goes out.
As your back goes out?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
It was awful.
Yeah, that's good enough reason. You never know with the back.
Yeah.
You can feel it in great shape. You can
I was up there,
a million, and you can just explode off that foot.
Do I dunk or do I just finger roll beautifully? Or do I let out a scream and collapse on the court?
So you went full George Gervin, and then the Iceman crumbleth.
I went down, and it was the first time I ever went to a napper path. You know what a napper path is? It's like a different deal than I went, and this guy, like, I'm laying on this table and he's kind of stretching me out, and all of a sudden, like, my leg shows up, like he had ripped it off and moved it over the top of my head. I'm like, where the hell did that come from?
That sounds painful.
Dr. Prowl, he was
phenomenal.
That sounds
painful. That's a long time ago, though. You're much better shape now with the stretching, and it's really good. So you'd be in much better condition to be able to go around
and I'd
deliver the finger roll.
Like, the problem is I'd always end up as like the 6'3" center because no one else we can play center. So you learn a
tallest
bucket
guy
step, you
go
know,
on the block.
Yeah, all you're doing
post up.
I remember
rebound.
Playing in our intramural league when I was at Loyola, and I was trying to guard the 7-footer. Now, he wasn't that good because he was in the intramural league, but what are you doing?
What are you doing? Tallest guy wins.
Yeah, always.
Nonetheless,
Luka to score 20, you're talking about how many points?
Yeah.
So you can bet like 15 or more, 20 or more. Luka to score 20 or more, -$2,200. So you got to bet $2,200 to win $100 that Luka would score 100 or more points
tonight. He's going
to
have 20 by halftime.
20 or more points tonight.
Yeah.
He could have 20 in the first half.
He may only play the half. It was Brian Windhorst who said that he was headed for a day off.
There's no way he's going to take the day off against the Dallas Mavericks.
I'm just telling you, the guy needs a day off.
He had an unbelievable game Saturday night, right?
He's back and he's leading them, and he is the great player, right?
He needs the reps.
Some of their other players are playing well because he's there.
Luka's back.
Luka is real good.
With that edge.
With that calf.
Yeah, well, that calf. So, Lakers, Mavs, because the Mavs, are they still a Western Conference threat, you think? Lakers, Mavs, OKC, and the Warriors. Those are four pretty dangerous teams right now. I think if you count the Mavs.
I would say that I wouldn't count the Mavs because they're best players.
If AD comes back, you never know with the playoffs.
Yeah, you never know. But, I mean, how are the Bulls going to do when they get in through the play-in? How will they wind up?
Well, that's the remarkable thing. Nobody explains a tank like they win? Billy Donovan. No, the Bulls are in this weird spot because
they're in the middle.
They're right in the middle, and they're still in the play-in contention.
They're 10th right now, right?
Still the 10th seed.
They're still the 10th seed, but they're the 8th worst team in the NBA, so their odds are still...
They just lost 6 in a row.
And that was a... They hadn't won. Last night was the first victory in like 20 days.
I know.
It's been a long three-week drought.
And it wasn't just a victory. It was like a blowout of epic proportion. And I mean, I tell you, you see a lot of things when you cover sports, and you see a lot of things. You want to talk about quitters, a team that has
quit. The Sixers?
Holy mother.
Yeah.
That team,
that was ugly.
They had no intention of playing. No.
Nurse is like, why am I still standing here watching this thing?
And Nick Nurse is like, should I challenge it?
Nick has given up. Nick gave up. Nick did. Listen, I have enjoyed my time with Nick. He's one of the good guys.
He is a good guy.
He's a really good coach.
Throw in the damn towel!
But he is...
No!
He has just checked out Rocky IV style at this point. Adem Bona can't finish. Adem Bona cannot finish.
It's a block
party.
But he
draws a foul.
You know, this is the time of the year, man.
Poor Nick Nurse, man.
Look at Nick's face, because he's so animated.
Honestly... He had the Kim Mulkey look at one point.
Nick Nurse checked out.
Just kind of standing
Nick
there.
Nick Nurse discharged.
Well, yeah, he was discharged. Yeah. He pushed himself down to the exit and got into it.
That was an ugly effort. And that when people talk about loosely the integrity of the game and you're not wanting to damage the integrity of the game by these tank losses, so to speak. Last night, you saw the Sixers challenge the integrity of the game.
They are top six protected with their draft pick, mm-hmm. and they're in sixth place.
Right now, they're in sixth
place. So they have to give up that draft pick. They're not going to give up the draft pick.
They're 20-37. Embiid is staring at the rest of the season, taking it off.
He's not doing anything.
He's not coming back. Probably closer to knee surgery than returning.
Apparently, they wanted him to take a year off, the rest of the year off season. He wants surgery. Let's try to get a fix. They don't know what is wrong with him. They don't know what to do with him. Every time he plays, the thing swells up, and then he can't play. It is. They are having meetings to talk just about his knee. What are we going to do? Hey, I told you, they're talking to the knee now directly, and he's just kind of like, I want surgery. And the knee's like, no, I'll be okay.
The knee's not going to be okay.
I'm perfectly fine.
The knee is under the influence because I don't think he's ever going to be okay. He's a guy that has been extraordinary when healthy, but he's not been healthy. MVP, I think he has on his resume 1 year, but he's only averaged, I think, like 55 games a year throughout his NBA career.
You ever see – what's the name of the Dr. Fox, whatever the guy's name was in the early days with the Bears? They used to call him Needles because of how many needles they would get. This is what's going on with Joel Embiid. They keep trying every PRP. They're like injecting his blood plasma back into it. They've tried everything.
Sixers have lost 8 in a row.
He's played 19 games this year.
They're 1-9 their last 10. And they're squarely in sixth place of the sixth worst record. I think they're going to probably stay there to protect their draft pick. Yeah.
Was that a good win or a bad win for the Bulls? Because you're looking at it right now. They're now 2.5 ahead of the Philadelphia 76ers, and they're 1.5 ahead of the Brooklyn Nets.
It's a great question. It's an understandable question. It sounds like everybody's going to look at the rest of the Bulls season this way. I love the way that Billy Donovan explained it. It's not so much that they're not oblivious to what's going on the way people talk about this season, But you can't tell them to lose. You can't tell them to go onto the floor and play without trying to win.
So Vooch is out, right? And Lonzo Ball gets the laceration. They're playing young guys. Like Terry had a really good game.
Dalen Terry did play well last night.
Yes. And it makes you wonder if there's any future with him. I mean, he's a first-round pick, and he was
– I know.
But he played well.
But
you think about the guys that played well. You know, do we know anything about him? Do we know how good he can be? 7 threes? Josh Giddey had another game. I told you, I'm going to pay him $20 million a year. Up to $20 million a year.
He got up to 20 last night. These are the things that are sustainable. Giddey's progress is not to be dismissed.
Three in a row, buddy.
He's in some pretty good company when he looks at the straight double-doubles with 20 or more points. There's only six people, I think, in Bulls history who have done that. One of them's name is Jordan. So he's starting to do things that you thought he might be capable of doing at the beginning of the year.
Still 23.
Matis Buzelis played 36 minutes. That's what he needs to do.
Exactly
to get used to playing high level of minutes.
17 points in 36.
So minutes. I do think it's a good victory, Brandon, because I don't believe that you ever want to come out of a win as convincing as that one was, the progress that you saw, and say that was a bad idea.
They were up 50. You had no choice but to win because you were playing a team that had no intention of winning. So how bad would it have been if the Bulls tried to lose that game?
Well, did the Bulls try to lose that game? Because I know maybe the Sixers tried harder, but Vooch comes up with a calf issue.
Yeah, that was
Io obviously is resting. Stretch. That's a legit injury. But I do wonder, how bad was Vooch hurt? I'm not questioning him, but he's a pretty durable guy.
He might have needed a day off, might have been headed for a day off.
He doesn't take days off.
I know.
He doesn't take many days off. So everyone out there in the tankathon world that we live in will say that was a bad win for the Bulls. And fine, I get it. But when you haven't won in 3 weeks, I don't know that there's any such thing as a bad win.
You were voting bad win, right? Is that what you did when you raised your
hand? I'm voting bad win.
Yeah.
Probably against this team, too. That's why.
Because that's a team
you're
racing them to the bottom. And you want them to lose their draft pick and also be ahead of you in the standings so that you're not the play-in team.
I think we put a lot of stock and we invest a lot of hope in percentages. And I get it because we live in an analytical world and the numbers and the metrics rule all. But when you look at the difference between, let's say, Portland at 9 and Bulls at 8 on tankathon.com, you're talking about the difference of 26% and 20%, 6% and 4.5%.
Right, right.
You're talking about this little bit. I will take a victory to stave off 3 weeks of futility for that. And as Dustin shakes his head, what have you become, Bernstein?
Who are you?
Hashtag capture the flag, David. Okay? Hashtag capture the flag.
Okay. I understand the point of the exercise.
When flag is playing for the 76ers next year, paired up with a rested Joel Embiid, and all of a sudden the 76ers are the second seed in the East. Boy, it was really fun. Let's go back to Tuesday morning, the 25th day of February, and talk about the 142 the Bulls laid out.
Tell that to Kevin Herter. Tell that to
Kevin Herter game.
Tell that to Kevin Herter and his family.
You rejected that question. It was mentioned. Was that to Kevin Herter? He rejected.
Kevin who?
Kevin Herter. And he hurt the Sixers.
11 threes in two games, pal.
He's the Herter.
He hurt the Bulls' chances at a better draft pick. That's what he did.
This
hurt my heart. I'm glad he warmed your heart on a Monday night.
Tanks for nothing.
You know,
I don't care.
It is the most horrible position to be in sports. When you finally win a game, you've been close and close. You finally get a big win and all the shots go down and everybody's delighted except everybody who knows you shouldn't win.
I know.
They put themselves in the worst position possible.
It's pro sports today, though.
That is.
It's pro sports.
But it's also it's lack of plan, lack of direction.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed. But I got to tell you, I did like that it was the younger guys. And maybe you learn something at the end of the year. Maybe you figure something out. And maybe you justify what you were trying to do when you made a trade with Oklahoma City for Josh Giddey.
Well, Giddey's looking like a guy.
You did not get draft capital.
Yeah, he's looking like a guy that is, if he can protect the basketball, and I think that's what Billy Donovan was alluding to.
Yes, Billy said
he can play every possession like a guy that can get a double-double on any given night. You got something there.
Somebody was going up for a layup, and he went with them and altered their shot, and the guy missed the layup. Now, you could argue that's a horrible result because the Bulls need to lose, but he actually played defense in that game.
He did. Dustin, how about this then? I understand all the complexities and realities and all the metrics and all the percentages, and I don't care. I think sometimes in sports
totally
you
fair.
Need a victory.
Right. I mean, it's fair
I don't
to not
feel
care about
like
it,
bad when I'm watching that thinking, this is fun.
I mean, listen, it was an ugly game because the Sixers are god-awful.
When Herter was hitting his 7-3, though, I was thinking, this is fun. I wasn't thinking, oh, my gosh, that's a 1.5% worse chance of getting the number one overall pick. I'm not going to be able to plant the flag.
I would have personally rather have them broken their 7-game losing streak against the Clippers on Wednesday night at home. That would have meant more to me.
That tomorrow night?
Yes. Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Whoa, wow.
I know I'm not supposed to say the date, right? I'm not supposed to say the date. Is that right? I'm not supposed to say it's the 20th.
No, I don't know.
No. Well, tomorrow is the preferred,
okay. Tomorrow's
right?
Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Yeah, you don't say Wednesday the 26th. They play, no, you say tomorrow. That's all.
Clips coming to town. They're not in town very often.
Does that make you happy?
No, because it would affect.
Yeah.
That's a better win, because the Clippers aren't going for that draft pick.
Yeah, okay. But it's a better loss against a team that you can get behind.
It was just so unexpected. I think that in sports we enjoy the unexpected as well.
It was a blowout.
It was a blowout, and you had some.
It was like wow,
guys stepping up. So and I.
Everybody looked good.
To my shame, enjoyed it.
That's all right.
Every minute.
You're allowed to enjoy. Okay. We've got the pick six next. We're going to have fun and enjoy ourselves. Regardless if everyone thinks it's going to go the bad way. So what if no one likes my questions? It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What do you want to hear more from today? Do you want to hear from Bears GM Ryan Poles or the new head coach Ben Johnson? Which guy's likely to be more forthright? And can you please tell us what, if anything, we'll learn about the offseason plan?
Yeah, it's interesting. Both guys talking today. Who do I want to hear from more? It would probably be Ben Johnson because I like hearing him talk and I like hearing him. He will react to the coaching staff, to the players that they're thinking about. But I think the guy that probably is going to reveal more is Ryan Poles. For an NFL general manager, he's as kind of forthright as you can find in the league. It's not like he's going to lay out the whole plan for you. But the guy, it's interesting because he doesn't hide everything. And he says things, and you go back and look at what he said, and yeah, they kind of did that. He can be brutally honest at different points that might reveal more information than he wants to.
But do you ever get the sense that that is calculated? Because I don't.
No, I don't get it. I get the sense
that maybe he doesn't intend to reveal as much as he ends up revealing.
And that's why he's the guy, if I'm a reporter, that I would want to kind of, if I had to choose, if they were talking at the same time, I might rely on help from someone else to get a tape of what the smart guy said, and then I would go watch the other guy.
Well, I think Ben Johnson
that was such an insult. My
that is such a veiled insult.
Yes,
not so veiled.
You want to let it sit there for a second to make sure it's sunk in.
The smart guy and the other guy.
The one guy's really Mully. Right, is all I meant.
Okay.
I think Ben Johnson will be more, to answer the question specifically, forthright. I think Ryan Poles will be, that's a really interesting question, but you know I can't answer that. I can't get into that too much. I can't talk about free agents. I think Ben will get an idea of what kind of a player he's looking for some more, the type of player. I think we've also learned some things if people have been listening. How many tight ends do you need? You have one right now. How many more do you need on this roster? What are you looking for in the tight end position? We've heard that your game is based on the running game. How do you build? You know, you have DeAndre Swift, and you know, what do you look? You know, how many more guys? What's the style of running back you're looking to build? So I think that's a way to get what is your role in the final, you know, active game day roster. How involved are you in that? And we might hear the old, we're going to work hand in hand. We're going to be attached at the hip. You know, Ben, what's Ian Cunningham's role now that he did not get the Jaguars GM job? What's he doing for you?
Who?
he works specifically for Ryan.
Who's the Ian Cunningham you speak of? I could see him answering. This is a no-brainer. You want to hear Ben Johnson talk as much as Ben Johnson is allotted to talk. I really am not that curious at all about what Ryan Poles has to say because I feel like we've heard a lot of it before. We've heard him be candid. We've heard him be unintentionally open, and we've heard him tip his hand a little bit more than maybe he would have liked. None of it mattered. None of it mattered. He has presided over three seasons of really bad losing and kept his job. I'm not that interested in what he has to say today. I want to hear from the new guy. I want to hear the hope and the vision and the enthusiasm and the clarity and the philosophy and everything that Ben Johnson is bringing to Halas Hall. And I want him to project that on a stage that is basically an NFL convention. And I want him to get people believing in the Bears because there's a lot of belief in the Bears for good reason. It's a new day. And I want to hear the guy who is most responsible for that attitude and for that approach and for that perception. So I want to hear the reality. Ben Johnson is the box office attraction for the Bears today. His boss will also speak.
How long until Ben creates the number one offense in Chicago?
That is a great question. But that is the way you should be looking at it.
But that's what he's heading to,
yes,
right?
Yes, that is exactly the way that I think you're going to listen to him today and think in your head, why isn't that possible? Or if it is, when can you say that's going to be a reality?
Yeah. Wait a minute, Kevin Warren's talking today?
Yes. Hey, well, here's another question.
That is the voice of Mark Rohde. Can't wait to hear about the basketball game he participated in with David on Saturday at the United Center. In the 2025 draft, considered really good for running backs, interior line, defensive tackles, and tight ends, can you rate the Bears' need in order of those positions, please, and how would you attack the draft with that knowledge?
Well, you're looking for an offensive tackle. If one of the two drops to you, either the kid from Texas or LSU, Banks or Will Campbell, I think you are going to be in a position that is enviable, and that's going to be ideal. I don't know if that's going to happen, but if it does, that's priority one. This is also a very good class for the depth of defensive linemen. So you look at that as maybe a secondary priority or second on your to-do list. Then you look at it, well, it's also a very good class for running backs. If you don't address the running back position in free agency with either hypothetically a guy like Nick Chubb or a guy like Najee Harris, then you're going to still have a need that exists. You don't need to pick in the top three a running back if both tackles are gone, if an edge rusher is gone. Then maybe Ashton Jeanty is a guy that in somebody's mock draft will fall to the Bears. I think that's more unlikely than likely. But I guess there's an asterisk there. So I would rate them in terms of priority. In the tight ends, you're not going to get to the one of the top two. I don't think you would be in a position to do that unless you trade down. So if you don't get either the Penn State or the Michigan tight end, I think you're going to wait until later in the draft. So I would go interior offensive lineman or offensive line, period.
Period.
Because you could have a guard in there that fits in if you do trade down. But I'd go offensive line, defensive tackle, running back, tight end.
Okay, but based on this, and I don't think any of us think the Bears are a player away from doing much of anything except being respectable, you know, being a game over 500, right? So would you not, based on what you did in free agency, which begins on March the 10th, would you not do best player available based on these positions? Right.
You
My point is, when we say, I just talked about the tight ends in my answer for question number one. If the best tight end in this draft is available at number 10, and you have purchased a couple of linemen in free agency, would you go because he's the best? I think that's where the Bears are at. I think you get the best guy. Not the second best guy, but if the number one guy at one of those positions of need is there at 10, I think that's what you do because you guys did yesterday. What, Mully, what'd you say? Almost $90 million now in money or high 80s?
80.
Okay, $80 million to spend. It's a lot of do-re-mi.
Well, that's what I mean. By the time you get to the draft, you might have those four or five players that do put you over the top.
Right, you're correct. So then, I mean, then you really might want the best guy at his particular position. Because then that now, if we're that close, David, then that I think this could be a best player available type thing.
Okay, so let me just turn it around a little bit, Dustin. If you believe that there is great depth at the running back position, that you can get an interior offensive lineman, meaning a guard later in the draft, if you can get a defensive tackle later in the draft, or even a tight end later in the draft, then you should prioritize what your needs are. You need to prioritize exactly what you said, the tackle position. Get the tackle position because the interior guys are a good group
deeper,
later on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get the defensive end. Get the pass rusher as soon as you can, because by the third round, those guys are going to be they're going to be project guys and guessing game, etc. If you can, you know, let's just say for the sake of argument that somebody starts falling because of an injury, because of something else, you could get a really good player if you are on the board and following kind of the diagram here. And to me, these positions are you could get them later in the draft is what you learn when you're told there's depth at these positions. But I don't go with best player available. I go with best tackle available. I go with best pass rusher available. And if I'm looking at the number 10 pick, I'm taking trench one side or the other based on who is available to me. And, I mean, if you can get the best defensive tackle in the draft, do it. If you can get the best interior lineman in the draft, if you really believe he's that much better, do it. Because you got needs at both those positions. But you better fill the pass rusher problem, and you better make sure that you come out of this draft with a really good stud of an offensive lineman early in it.
Kind of similar to the question that the guy asked me over there.
Whether you prefer the term brotherly shove or
the tush push,
how about the Packers wanting it banned? Packers were identified as the team protesting the NFL play on the NFL's website. Do you agree that Jalen Hurts is so good at it, and the Eagles have an unfair advantage with this play?
I think it's really funny that the Packers are doing this. I kind of find it amusing. You know, here's the reality of it. We thought that Jason Kelce was the key to the brotherly shove. Look at him; he gets so low. He's got the pads. The key is Jalen Hurts. They lose Kelce, and they don't even lose anything.
You
they still
why?
Have that play.
He squats 600 pounds.
He can squat. We've seen him. We have seen him. There is video out there of this guy picking 600, taking a house and shoving it over his head. You have any idea how much 600
pounds? It's a two-story house.
That's a ridiculous amount of weight. So, you know, his legs are the key to that play. The guy is strong as an ox, and he can – and I agree with the idea that what Washington tried to do when they jumped off sides 15 times and that it was a shambles. That was shambolic. I don't know what to tell you about it, but I hated having to watch it. And then my fear was that the somehow on the 15th try, the Eagles would jump offside, then they get back 10 yards. That's kind of the advantage of committing penalties down on the goal line, that, you know, they get half the distance and you get 10 yards. So it's worth it to try to goad them into a penalty.
Until they change that rule.
But, yeah, I mean, listen, I think it's a very cool play. I think it's fun to have in the game, and I enjoy it, and I don't want to see it ended.
It's such a joke. I mean, really? The Packers? When did they become soft? I mean, I thought, you know, tough, north of the Cheddar Curtain, black and blue division, all that stuff. Their defensive tackles and their inside guys aren't tough enough to take these guys on. Play harder. Do better. How about don't put yourself in third and inches or fourth and inches? Play better defense on first and second down. Make it second and nine. Make it second and 12. Things like that.
If it's so easy, why is everybody not doing it? Because it's not that easy, and it's not a cheap play. So what's next? You're going to make some rule about Patrick Mahomes is not allowed to tiptoe down the side? If Patrick Mahomes tiptoes down the side, if Patrick Mahomes gets within 6 inches of the sideline, we're going to call it down.
He fakes because, like, he's going to go out of bounds.
But are they going to ban that play?
Maybe.
Well, I'm just saying, it's ridiculous. Play better, play harder. And if it's such a big deal, why are only the Packers the ones complaining and crying about it?
Charmin now purchasing naming rights to Lambeau Field. Packers, this is so soft.
Charmin Field.
This is so soft. You want? Does Kenny Clark know that his team is petitioning to try to label him as a guy that can't stop
the tush push?
He's got to
get tougher.
Oh, my gosh. This is ridiculous. You want to ban a rule, or you want to ban something on fourth down, how about no shotgun on fourth and two or less? That would be great. You want to change football for the better, no shotgun snaps on fourth and two or less. Then I'm paying attention. This is nonsense. I'm surprised Mark Murphy would engage in something like this because it does seem to be a non-starter. You want to stop the tush push, whatever. I don't think that you can. Not if you have Jalen Hurts doing the thing, and every quarterback can if you choose to. Maybe Jordan Love doesn't have enough weight in his thighs or whatever. This is bad for football to stop the tush push. I think every team should have a play like this. They do, but call it something else. Like, come up with your own nickname. Maybe that's because the Packers aren't clever enough to come up with a nickname. The tush push, the brotherly shove, the lakeshore dive. What do you got, Green Bay? This is silly.
Perry Matt checks in and says, David, you wiped the floor with that one.
I'm not going to take any questions.
Ah, it's the birthday boy, Jerry Reinsdorf. Happy, what is your 89?
Happy birthday, yeah. Jerry.
Happy birthday, Jerry.
Can we play a little music? Can we get a little happy birthday song going? Come on.
Well, Brandon looks for that. I'll continue the question.
He's 89.
Why do you think the White Sox are so reluctant to address this Justin Ishbia report or accept that this could be a way to enhance Reinsdorf's legacy?
Well, I don't think that's the way they're going to look at it, and I don't think it's the way that they view it. I think they view it as somewhat of an intrusion, perhaps, or at least that's the way they have responded to it in a way that makes you wonder. Because this could be viewed as, happy birthday, Jerry Reinsdorf. There we go. I think a lot of us jump to the conclusion that it was maybe further along than it is. It's hard for us to understand that somebody who was this close to purchasing the Minnesota Twins would back off of that venture without any assurances or maybe indications that he would be one day calling the shots for the Chicago White Sox. And Jerry Reinsdorf, if he were to put things in place, a succession plan, if you will, I think he would be viewed as much more popular than he is right now on his 89th birthday. It would be a good thing. I don't know if they are aligned. I don't know if there's even a relationship. Do we know that between Justin Ishbia and Jerry Reinsdorf? But I do know that if they wanted to look at this as an opportunity to make things seamless in a transition, they could do it. I just don't know that that's going to be their approach.
Yeah, Dustin, go on.
Now, what I found interesting from listening to you guys talk about this yesterday, and one thing I'm still curious about, I thought John Greenberg's reporting that the youngest member of the board of directors was 76.
And the next youngest is 86.
86. My question is this. Is Justin allowed to go to anybody else on that board of directors and buy their shares? Like, are the shares... Where are the shares? Do we know this yet? I mean, I could have missed it. I was driving. Right? Do we know where the shares are coming from? Yeah, so Jerry is still he's not the majority shareholder, right?
He controls. He's the chairman. It. He has a partnership with a bunch of guys that all own a piece of the team.
I guess my question is, what I would like
you
to
know how much of the team he owns.
I want to know how much Jerry owns, and I want to know
could he buy all
where are the shares coming from? When Ishbia is purchasing, are they coming from Jerry? Does Jerry have to approve that he buys them from, let's just say, Sam Smith? You know what I mean? How does it work? Because we have heard the stories. I think Dan Bernstein has reported it, that there are people, you know, the children, the grandchildren of Jerry's partners that would like to cash out, and you're not allowed to do that. So would they be able to sell shares to Justin? That's the next part of the story, I think.
I mean, he didn't get into it, as David was pointing out. He didn't stop wanting to own a major league team. He just shifted his alliance from the Twins to the White Sox. So he must have some information. And this idea that it doesn't matter if he wants a team, Jerry won't sell. I think the opposite is happening. I think this reminds me, the White Sox denial reminds me of like banning the AP from the White House because they won't say Gulf of America. It's like you're laying down the news and this is what it is. Well, no, that's not what it is. You can't be in here. That's kind of the way the Sox are responding, in my opinion. They're just saying nothing is official. You can't say it's official. And Jerry still runs the team and it's Jerry's team. But we all see what's going on, which is it's soon not to be Jerry's team. Pretty soon, Matt Ishbia will, not, it's Justin, excuse me, will be the owner of the Chicago White Sox, and his brother will be one of his big financiers, right? They'll do it together, but they'll do it with it a little different from how they do it in Phoenix. I think they're denying it because they want to have the integrity of Jerry in charge. And Jerry's not ready to say, I'm not in charge because I haven't sold it. But that's how it's headed.
And I guess that's almost like the point of the conversation and the discussions, that if he were more on board or with the idea of trying to collaborate almost.
Yeah.
You wonder what that might do to people who see that as a really nice gesture or a good nod or a good, smart, shrewd move as part of the succession plan.
Yes. No question, David.
That's a loaded question.
That is the voice of David Sampson. He'll be with you guys at 8:44 this morning. What was your reaction to A.J. Pierzynski predicting this about the Justin Ishbia-owned White Sox team?
Listen, I love the Twins and I love Minnesota because they were where I came up from and always have a great piece of me. But I want the White Sox to be great, man. And if these brothers can come in and buy a larger piece and help up the payroll and pay players and make this team and organization a better thing, then you know what? Let's go, baby, because Jerry's not going to – As much as this pains me to say, you know, Jerry's not going to own the team forever. And at some point, you know, these guys come in and buy it. And we talked about this today on FT. I think they'd be the second richest owners in baseball behind Stevie Cohen. So, hey, let's go. They can start buying players and buying the superstars we need to win in today's game. Yes. Yes, please. You know what they're going to become? What the Cubs should become. A powerhouse in the Central.
Your reaction to AJ here on the score yesterday.
Come on. Do I get to go?
Yes.
Because I got to tell you, that's exactly my reaction to it, except I don't care about Minnesota. I felt exactly the same way. You're bringing money. You're bringing big time. You're bringing a baseball team to Chicago because they don't really have one yet on the south side. They got some idea of what the future could look like. But, you know, you watched that team. Did you watch yesterday? I mean, I think I turned it off at 9-0. I just wanted to see a couple of plays. Exactly. It's a joke. So, I mean, we're going to, you know, second verse, same as the first. We're going to do a repeat of last season. But this hint that there's money coming, there's big money coming, that this team is now going to compete for free agents. They're going to try to win. They're going to act like a professional baseball team. I'm all for it.
Yeah, this is great news. I mean, this is fantastic White Sox news. I thought you guys nailed it yesterday, your reaction to it yesterday. And I mean, it was like trending on social media. Mully, you mentioned, I think it was you or David, one of you two mentioned that the house that Justin is building is more expensive than any contract ever handed out by the White Sox. I mean, think about that. I mean, your brand in the background. I mean, think about that for a second. The home... So again, also he pulled out of the Twins. He's got money to burn. Obviously, he wants the family already owns a basketball team. So now they want to own a baseball team. And okay, I mean, I don't see anything negative about this. And also, if Jerry wasn't if Jerry wasn't on board, he wouldn't let this happen. They probably, or his sons probably, went to Justin and said,
did.
Hey, listen,
they
while you're interested,
yes.
come over this way. We got a better deal for you.
What A.J. Pierzynski articulated was the precise reason everybody's so excited. The possibility of the White Sox becoming major players again. And I don't know how quickly this surfaces or manifests itself. And maybe we're getting way too far ahead of things, as the White Sox, some people in that organization believe that everybody did yesterday. But if this happens, A.J. Pierzynski predicted that the Sox could be, you know, big spenders in a division they could definitely control. And that question that we kind of kidded about yesterday, at the end of this season, if all this happens quickly, and maybe it could, I don't know, but is Kyle Tucker more likely to sign with the Cubs or the White Sox?
Oh, God.
Terrific question. Need to get that answered. Only have it for you today.
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. We go out to spring training and him at 8:25. How impressed have you been with the Cubs outfielder, Kevin Alcantara? Starting 6 for 11, 4 runs batted in, is the Jaguar, as he's known, at age 22. Too young to make this team if he's not a starter. Does he need to play every day and work out? How about the Cubs trouncing the Padres 10-5 for 5 in a row.
5-0. Alcantara is a very intriguing prospect. Goodness sakes, I heard Craig Counsell talking about him yesterday, maybe the day before, and there's not a lot that he doesn't do right now. He's so young, and he looks so gifted, and it seems so natural. He's so blocked. There's nowhere to put him. I don't know if you want him to play every day at Iowa or you'd want to kind of keep him on the major league roster. It's kind of the annual conundrum that teams face with prospects like this. But he has opened some eyes, and he looks very natural. I would say leaning toward Iowa just to make sure that he keeps getting every day at bats.
Yeah,
undefeated, never lost.
I think his place is Iowa. I think that's where it's at. I think if he's on the roster, that means something happened to somebody in the outfield, so we're not going to root for that. But again, it's nice to see these young guys performing. You know, unfortunately, they don't have Owen Casey, and it doesn't look like they're going to have Owen Casey anytime soon. So it's nice to see that this is another option.
Yeah, I remember when the Panther was coming up. So now that you guys have the Jaguar, I'm very happy for you.
Jaguar greater than La Pantera.
Oh, it's beautiful. We got the extra point next. Mully and Haw, the score.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
All right, guys, here we go. So who won the race to the bottom in Philly between the Bulls and the 76ers? Was there anything significant that occurred in terms of development?
Well, I'm not supposed to enjoy the fact the Bulls won the first game in 20 days, so I will say this without any enthusiasm at all. Boy, it was really bad to see Josh Giddey get another double-double. Dalen Terry really took a step forward, and aren't we all depressed about that? And this is ridiculous. I'm being facetious, but you take progress where you can find it. And if you want to call it a collective failure because they won a game against a team that they're racing to the bottom, okay, I understand the way today's pro sports work. But within this collective approach and the big picture race to the bottom, if you will, or the tankathon.com standings, you have individual progress that you can't ignore and you shouldn't ignore. Actually, you have an obligation to try to, if you're a Bulls fan, to root for. Matis Bezelis, 36 minutes. He's got to get used to playing 30-plus minutes. I think when you look at Josh Giddey, double-double. There's only six guys, I think, in Bulls history who have had three straight double-doubles with 20 or more points in each of those games. This is a good thing. Dalen Terry did take a step forward. I don't know what it means, but he did look like an NBA player last night, and you can't say that on a lot of nights that he has played. six players in double figures. Vooch sat out. Io missed a game. They're playing without Jalen Smith because he's still hurt. And Patrick Williams is still a week away from getting an update on his diagnosis. So, yeah, not supposed to enjoy what we saw last night. But how do you not get a little bit amused, at least, when the Bulls score 142 points?
The Bulls can't even lose properly. That's the problem. Again, break the losing streak against the Clippers on Wednesday at home in front of your home audience. But all kidding aside, okay, it is good to see Josh Giddey continue to lead this team. You know, we joked around about Kevin Herter, 7-for-11 from 3-point. Okay. But in all, Matas Buzel is playing 36. Like, that's the key takeaway. He needs to play 30-plus every night and continue to develop.
You know, look, I see what you're saying, David. And I think that we have been kind of watching the Bulls, you know, toil away in close games that they lose at the end. There was no way to lose this game. I mean, Philly was just flat out not playing, didn't give a cuss as to what happened or not in that game. It's the middle of the week. You're in Philadelphia. You're out all these players. You got guys with enthusiasm that are trying to stay out of the G League. I mean, come on. There is very little that they could have done. Philly beat them to the bottom. There's no way about it. That Philadelphia team's not going to win at all. I mean, man, are they bad, and man, have they quit. It is a terrible thing to see happen, and the Bulls aren't in that space. They're not. And, you know, should they be? That's a different argument. I feel like I didn't really enjoy it because one of the teams was so awful. But for a regular season game, there were some good shots knocked down. Huerta, that guy, played well. He played well, and he made shots. And then you think, man, if they get better, could he be a part of it? So, yeah, I don't spend as much time checking out the standings and all that. I know they hadn't won in a long time because I watch them. And they seem like a try-hard team even when they're losing. And maybe they're not supposed to be that way, but I don't know how. I don't think it helps you to coach competition out of your players. I don't see how that helps at all. So they're maybe a little better than they should be, but I don't think they're very good anyway. So we'll leave them alone.
They're not very good.
No.
Billy Donovan's explanation, when he consistently is asked about it, is why he's one of the more interesting guys to listen to in Chicago sports, because he understands what fans are talking about. He understands how a game like last night will be viewed, but he also strikes the balance pretty well. What do you expect him to do?
That's a great question. He is out there coaching a team, developing a team. I don't think he's supposed to coach him to lose.
I have a ton of respect for Nick Nurse, the Sixers coach.
He's a really good dude.
NBA champion, yeah. Right? Good guy. But I do not want my head coach looking as miserable, yeah, and as checked out as he did last night. That was embarrassing for the Sixers. Billy Donovan, may he never look that disengaged from what's going on in front of him.
312-644-6767. We're going to get to your phone calls next. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Nick has given up. Nick gave up.
Throw in the damn towel.
Philly in play. Ball game over. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. 142-110, and we are dancing in the city of brotherly love. Yes. And it's a loving for the Bulls.
Trust the process. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score.
Chuck was dancing last night.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Bulls, 142 points, a season high. 39 points in the first quarter, season high. 75 points at the half, season high. Without Vooch, without Zach, who needs him? They've got Kevin Herter. This was the Kevin Herter game.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
It's crazy. But it was a team. It was a team that had not won in 20 days. They're playing a team that was trying to lose a little bit harder, And the result was what it was.
If you can't miss, you can't miss. 312-644-67. Let's start with Kevin. Kevin's in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. I hope this gentleman does buy the Sox, and I hope he starts spending a fortune, because I hope it starts putting some pressure. Tom Ricketts has gotten a free pass from the city because he's the only game in town right now. But if they turn it around, I mean, what you guys said earlier, could you imagine the phone calls you guys would be getting if Kyle Tucker is on the White Sox next year? I mean, Tom has a self-imposed salary cap. That's all it's called. And it was funny. John Greenberg was on the Score Saturday, and he said if Justin Ishbia buys Sox, there would be one billionaire baseball owner in town, and that'd be Mr. Ishbia, because Tom Ricketts is not a billionaire. And it might just be the fact that he doesn't have enough money because his dad didn't give him any more. He leveraged himself, putting $1 billion into the area around the park. He might not be able to play in this game, and I think it's going to be awesome if someone else comes in, rubs his nose in it, and says, hey, here's what a real, real billionaire looks like, and here's what they spend. I want it as a Cubs fan. I hope the guy shows up. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the phone call. That's an interesting perspective that I had not considered, but I do think it's valid.
I think the point he makes, would it put pressure on Tom and the Ricketts family if the White Sox were suddenly relevant and were taking players and playing? It's yes. Like a Mets-Yankees thing, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So if you take your best player from your opponent, yeah, that's a shot across the bow. That is, we are relevant, we are important, as are you.
We sit here on a regular basis, and I don't want to say we're manufacturing the urgency of the 2025 season for the Cubs because of the contractual situation with Jed Hoyer, because they haven't been to the playoffs in a while. But I do feel like it's external, and it's pressure that's almost like created. It would be more real and more inherent if it were the Cubs waking up every day to a White Sox team and front office and ownership group that was adding, and competing for maybe our interest level, or competing for a lot of things in a sports city. So I don't think that Kevin's that far off. There would be more pressure on Tom Ricketts to maybe put the Cubs at a level that they're not currently at if you had Justin Ishbia running the White Sox. It's interesting.
Yeah. It would be good for the city of Chicago, because it would be good for the White Sox, and that, in as we're talking about, would put more pressure on the Cubs. I think the Cubs have done – I disagree with the idea that the Cubs don't run like a billionaire owns them. I don't think they waste money. I think they've learned a lot over the years. If you think about buying the team and coming in and who was here and the players they had, and then getting Theo and then building –
They spend
the
money. They got the highest paid manager in baseball.
They do. But they
spend it. They spend it
they're
carefully.
Not spending it on players.
It's intelligent spending is the buzzword. But
they're also being careful, I think.
They are careful.
Because of what's going on with the business of baseball in terms
of looming work stoppage in 2027.
That's
not to be ignored.
It's got to be impactful.
I still am waiting for them to reallocate the Cody Bellinger resources. Yep. And that's the biggest holdup for me in saying all of this other stuff, because that to me is still the trade or the move that makes the less sense of all of them in the offseason.
They look awful good.
They do.
In these Cactus League games.
You like the Jaguar.
I like the Jaguar. Yeah. I like a lot of what I'm seeing, honestly.
Kevin Alcantara.
I like even some guys that we don't really know about or hold in high esteem. They're coming in and they're breaking their butts and they're trying to make the team. I don't know that they're gonna. And I'm very curious about how they'll look.
You're a big Nicky Lopez guy.
When you start putting everyone together. Yeah, that's
I know. Me. I know you're a big Lopez.
Oh,
Nicky
that's
guy.
How I go. Yeah. But I do think that they're going to be a pretty good team, because just some of the arms you see that are out there, they're going to be able to do stuff that you can't imagine. Now, having watched the White Sox preseason game.
It's only one game. It's only one game.
No, it's all their game. Have they won a game yet?
It's only one.
Did they win one?
There's only one game yesterday that was on television. I'm just saying, the rest of them I didn't see.
It was awful. They were down so much. It was like crazy. And remember, it's spring training, so you literally can take a pitcher out and then bring him back an inning or two later. It's like it's not a big deal. But, man, they were awful. It's only spring training, but it doesn't look like they got the kind of depth.
So when the Sox lose, it's only spring training. When the Cubs are 5-0, it's like, look at them!
No, I think it's only spring training. I just think it speaks to the depth they have.
It does, yeah. Michael Bush homered.
Yeah, but when you go down 5-0 the day before and then you come back and win 6-5, I mean, that's pretty good depth. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.